the Benedict D'Souza real fine? Mr. D'Souza, what was the purpose of having the MFA?
The purpose of having the MFA, we were told, was to form a unit in Singapore, a medical field ambulance in Singapore, to be trained and then go up to Kota Bharu, or as near as possible to Kota Bharu, where we'll either be as our own unit or we'll meet other units. And we were supposed to wait for the war to come down there, if it did, and to bring down casualties down the peninsula, right? And as far as we could, hand over our casualties to the next post, and these people in turn will bring it down all the way to Singapore, which was supposed to be our base. We were not supposed to stop at Kuala Lumpur or Malacca. Singapore was supposed to be our base. And from there, God knows.
So, do you know why they had the idea of sending you up to Kota Bharu? Was there any reason given?
To the best of our knowledge, they were expecting impending assaults from that area downwards, to be pincered forward downwards. That, of course, was a top secret, but that's what they told us, you see, that we were supposed to do that. Maybe we weren't, if there wasn't time, we would maybe go half the way to the peninsula and come down, either with the casualties or to the next post, and the next post would bring it down like a relay down to, of course, the worst cases would be treated there, and then those that couldn't be moved had to be treated there. But the other case would come down to Singapore, and then I suppose eventually they'll bring them back to the next fighting line.
When were all of you told that you were actually supposed to go to Kota Bharu?
That was after we had passed out and gone over to Changi.
That was in mid 1941. So, do you think that at that time they were anticipating or they expected a war from the mainland?
I suppose so. That since we were told that was what to happen, we could take it for granted that they expected something like that. But because they bypassed everything.
At that time, during that period, did anyone of you expect the war to come to the region?
No.
Even when you were told that you were supposed to be posted to Kota Bharu?
We thought we'll go up there, we will finish up there, we'll stay put there or die down there.
At that time it seemed that the impression was that the attack was going to come from the sea. Did anyone of you know about? Or did anyone of you have that impression?
No, we expected the people to pincer, the enemy to pincer down from Thailand's part, from India, Thailand, and back to Singapore, down to Singapore.
We referring to the MFA?
The war. We expected the war to...
We referring to...
The MFA, yeah.
So, why didn't your group move up to Kota Bharu?
Because the war had already started. We couldn't even go as far as Johor Bahru.
So, you did not plan to move up there in mid-1941, even though you were told then that you could be posted to Kota Bharu?
Come again?
You mentioned that you were told that you could be posted to Kota Bharu in mid-1941.
No, we... Not could so much as that we were trained to be set up there. Well, as soon as we finished our training, the next batch, we would be go sent up there, the next batch would have gone to the next state, and the next batch training and gone to the next state, downway, all the way. So, should anything happen, we'll pass on the buck, you see, to post by post by post.
So, before your training finished, the war had already started then.
Well, not before. Before we could achieve, before we could realize that Kota Baru incident, the war started. The Japanese had come in.
Mr. De Souza, there was an anti-Japanese movement just before the war broke out in this part of the world. Did you know anything about that in Singapore?
To the best of my knowledge, no. Because I was not quite involved in politics or any war of that sort. And if there was any, I did not notice it.
Do you know anything about the Japanese community?
Before the war, very little. Only thing that they were very seclusive. They kept to themselves, that is, and they were in a very small minority in Singapore. And I had no occasion to meet up with them or to chum up with them. So I didn't know much about that community.
During the first air raid on Singapore, what were you doing then?
Well, I was at a station at South Bonavista Road, almost reaching Pasir Panjang. I was then in the army, in the number one Malaya field ambulance. And there were two of us, one Mr. Noel Zuzati and I. We had pitch tent. We got our supplies all ready, our medicine and all that, and our stretcher, which was our bed, all in order. And I think we must have had one or two beers. And we turned in. We were very tired. As I can remember, it was only not more than 2 or 2.5 hours that there was an air raid on Singapore. And there was flashing of lights, searchlights. We had searchlights those days. And there was a sound of aeroplane drones, the drones of aeroplanes. And the next thing I knew, well, not more than half an hour, then that two of our men came in a jeep and told us to pack up and return to base. And base at that time was Tanglin Barracks, the JHQ for the army at that time.
So what were your reactions when you realized that it was the air raid?
Well, we didn't think much. All we had to do is we were trained. We were told to pack up, and we packed up. We struck tent, packed up our things in order as we were trained, put all our medicine into the usual compartments, and with the help of the other two soldiers in the jeep, we packed everything into the jeep and headed back for base.
How did you react to the raid?
You're referring to my... I said we had no time to think of anything. Just that we were trained that way. Carry on. Do as you're told. And we did. We packed up and went back to base.
When you went back to base, what was happening at the base?
Other reactions. There was this colleague of mine called Noel Zuzati, and I can't remember the names of those who came in the jeep. We were young. I was just over 21, carefree man, and well, there's a war, that's all. And we went back to camp. Now on the way, he said, well, this is only the beginning. We didn't think of any future hardship that was forthcoming. We just went back to camp.
So at the camp, when you arrived there, what was the situation in the camp at that time?
Oh, it was all bedlam there. We never had our bunks. We didn't know where to find, we didn't have our cupboards and things like that. It was just muck in wherever you could find place. And if we were hungry, we'll just go and muck in and look for food, that's all. And by that time, we were on tin rations.
Who were there at the Tanglin camp that the day that you arrived?
Oh, most of our boys. Most of our boys. I can't remember exactly how many officers we had. I know our colonel was there. And our captain, or he had already been made up. And there were some other European sergeants, our own men. We were just sitting down there and waiting for orders, that's all.
What was the atmosphere like in that during that time?
Well, as far as I can remember, we were tired, we didn't bother us what was happening outside or inside. We were just doggone tired, and we never discussed our future, our fate with the army or and things like that. We were just concerned as to what are we going to do now, where's our next... Well, we had to rest, we rested, we had to go somewhere else, we went. You see, we were not so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow or the next minute.
While you were there, did you find out what happened during that first air raid?
Well, there was no time. There was bedlam down there, you see. We did. I didn't find out, but we were told, you know, in so-and-so place, we had an air raid, and there was heavy casualties there, but none from our own colleagues, you see. And there was damage here, there was damage there, but not directly concerned with our unit.
So, in the morning after that raid, did you get more news about what happened and who were the casualties? What were the areas involved?
No. As I said, we didn't bother to find out if anything happened to our men and things, or in Singapore, or to any of our soldiers. But, frankly speaking, we were worried about what happened to our own family. And that's all.
What kind of instructions were given to you subsequently after that first air raid?
No, there were no instructions. We were just told to hang on, to hold on for further orders. And it was not long after that I was posted to the Malay Regiment in Tanjung Penjuru. This Noel Zuzati and I again.
You see, after the first air raid.
After the first air raid. See, because we were close and they didn't want to get more people, since he was used to me, well, in the last assignment. So naturally they said, okay, Ben and Noel, you go there. And of course a jeep took us there with one or two men, I can't remember. And our number one Malay Field Ambulance at that time was a part and parcel of the Royal Army Medical Corps. So we were dispatched to outlying districts which had a small unit, whether it was the Malays or the British, we were not concerned. We were posted to, in my case, we were posted to the Malay Regiment. You see, some of them were posted to hospitals because they needed men to do any kind of work, not necessarily in the ward. It could be nursing orderlies. It could be that we had to carry the mess, we had to carry the dead, we had to carry the sick on stretchers, or we had to carry people from the ambulance who were hurt or sick to the hospitals. Or maybe we were taken on as nursing orderlies, eventually those who could drive trucks, those who could drive ambulances, jeeps and lorries were detailed to do that.
So it was the general practice at that time of the number one MFA to post the members to different groups, like the hospital or the Malay Regiment?
Or to any other regiment that was in Singapore at that time, or who needed the the assistance of number one MFA. In my case, I was always with the Malay regiment, so I can talk mostly about that.
So the operating base was from Taming
H. Where we were concerned, yes.
Yeah.
And I might mention at this point that we know that one of our boys did die during an air raid. He was a very young Eurasian boy, and he was given full honors in the funeral. He was a young, all I know, his surname was Gray, G-R-A-Y. That's all. Other than that, up to that time, nobody died.
Did you remember when you were posted to the Malay Regiment?
Well, it could be 9th or 10th December.
And since then, did you stay on with the Malay Regiment throughout?
We followed them to the best of my knowledge, I think, for quite some time, maybe 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, and then we were recalled. We were recalled, and during our that period, another one or two soldiers from our unit were posted there. I can't remember, I'm not quite sure. But I know in the interim, our colonel died, and he was given full burial honors too. We dug his grave, it was already a trench, and he was covered up, and we gave him the full salute. And it so happened, I remember clearly, planes flew over us, but they dropped bombs, but they were far away. Otherwise, he would have had a double death.
Where was the Malay Regiment stationed when you were posted there after the first air raid?
In somewhere in Tanjung Penjuru. At that time, it was not as opened out as it is now. It's jungle. And there was kind of what we call a river, but it's maybe a big stream as you would term it.
What was the Malay Regiment doing there?
They were helping to defend Singapore in their own way.
So they were guarding that place?
That area, that sector.
When two of you were posted there for about 10 days to a fortnight, what were all of you doing?
We were just waiting for, well, anyone to get sick, for bombs to drop and start to kill someone, and to render first aid.
So did any such incidents
occur? Thank God.
When you were recalled, after you were recalled back, were you sent out again to another unit to help?
No. It was at that period when the British had surrendered. And the Japanese were coming in full force. And I remember that a lot more, this Malay regiment was reinforced. They were either on the way down and met us, but again, I use the word reinforced because they met us, and we had no rations at all. What we had to do was live on cooked rice, chilies, Chinese sauce, and one of the members of the Malay regiment found out some grass which could be cooked and we cooked that and ate, and that was one of our meals. What happened, I don't know after that, but and then we slept on the lorries, on stools which were placed on the lorries. And I remember that I nearly dropped over. But there was such a lot of bombing and shelling and searchlights moving about, and we were so doggone tired, we did not worry about that. All we wanted was our sleep. That's all. And the next morning, after this affair, we were told by the Malay regiment that they were going down south, nearer to our camp, and that they did not have any need for our services, because they felt that, you know, it was chaos already. you could start, you can go your way and I go my way, sort of thing. And we did meet our ambulances, or men anyway. It was an ambulance, and we were packed in. My friend Noel Zuzati was packed in one. I went in a jeep actually, and we went over. We were supposed to return to our unit in Tanglin. And okay, but I told my friend, there's no need to go back now. You just hold on with me, we can go back together. But he was in a hurry to go back. He went with the ambulance. With the result, the ambulance overturned at the entrance to our camp via, I can't remember that road now. Is it called Grange Road? No, Tanglin is there. Yes, via Tanglin Road. If I remember correctly now, the name of the road was Ridout Road, R-I-D-O-U-T. It's still there. He went in that way in a hurry, and the ambulance overturned. The net result being that my friend lost his left arm. He went back to camp, and I came back later. I came back later, not knowing what had happened. After that, we had to evacuate, and we went to the Singapore Museum.
Mr. Dizizet, so you were with the Malay regiment throughout the time that they were stationed at Tanjung Penjuru. After they shipped out from that base, you came back to your
camp.
So, did you know what happened to the Malay regiment after you parted?
No. Bob's your uncle, sort of thing. You know, you went your way, I went my way.
So, at Tanjung Penjuru, nothing happened at all?
Nothing happened at all. All I know, all I can remember is what happened. We went into the trenches and said our prayers, both of us. I haven't said prayers for a long time, but we started saying our prayers. We are both Catholics, isn't it?
So why was there a necessity to ship from Tanglin to Singapore Museum?
Because the Japanese were coming down at a very fast rate, and I reckon they were afraid that they'll take over the camp and take us en bloc. So we had to move down, and we went over to the Singapore Museum. We arrived. No, we evacuated at night. And I remember very distinctly that there was our lorry, it was a 3-tonner, was packed with a chemical called Usol. And it made us sick. Anyway, we had our beers and what have you there, but with the smell of the Usol made us sick. However, we reached the Singapore Museum, and we unloaded because we were so doggone tired. There was a lot of bombing and shelling still, but we were not hit. A lot of sparks and all that. We were not hit, we went to sleep. The next morning, we were told that we had to move out from there. And we moved out from there to Victoria Theatre, or what was left of it. And we knew then that the Japanese were almost imminent, they were almost on us. But we kept moving and moving and moving and running. You can use that word running. Up to the Victoria Theatre. It was there that we were told that the Japanese had surrendered. We can surrender ourselves to the Japanese, or since this is your hometown, you can go back home. The risk is yours.
Did you Do you remember when did you evacuate from Tanglin Base Camp to the museum?
No, I couldn't keep track of the dates.
At that time, do you know whether the Japanese had already landed in Singapore?
Oh yes.
When the Japanese landed in Singapore, did you witness any of the fighting that was going on in it?
No. At that time, when we moved down from our base to the museum, I found out later that they had already arrived at Bukit Timah. Now, Bukit Timah meaning Newton. Now, after there, they were halted by their own men, by their own army. And that was the perimeter. They could not touch the soldiers. Could not touch anything or anybody from that part onwards down to Singapore town. What they were free, and they did do a lot of looting and raping from Bukit Timah backwards, from Newton backwards. That is what we were told later.
When you shifted to, when you moved to the museum, was it only the number one MFA?
Well, it was the number one MFA, or what was left of us. As we said, we dispersed. I can't actually remember unless I get my boys together, find out whether there were some in Changi, whether there were some in Seletar, or some other places.
You mean by that time, all of you had lost contact of each other?
Oh yes, definitely. We lost contact with each other. And as a matter of fact, I still can't remember how many of us were left behind in the Singapore Museum.
When you reached Singapore Museum, were there any other units that were there as well?
No. To the best of my knowledge, I can't remember correctly. But I know that it was, you know, we had the upstairs and downstairs, and I'll have to think back and ask my friends before I can actually give you something. But it was dark as well, so we couldn't see who was there. We knew our pals were there, and that was it.
From there, why did you shift to Victoria Theatre?
The place was getting hotter. The Japanese were coming down and down and down. Don't forget, I told you, Newton, when they were at Newton, we were already told that was the end of the war. So they just raced down to, and from Newton to Singapore Museum, not very far.
So when you were moving away from the Japanese, what were your observations of the situation then? Were there a lot of people running about? Did you see any soldiers, for instance?
When we moved out
from Tanglin, from museum, during all this time,
yeah.
What were your observations?
Well, actually, our concern was not for what was happening outside, but for what was happening to us and our bag and baggage and our the things that we had to carry with us, you see. Most of it was our sea kit bag, our black kit bag, and our haversack, what we had, and that was all. We were just told to move and move and move, and that's what we did.
Did you see any soldiers? British soldiers?
Oh yes, there were British soldiers, there were Australian soldiers. There were many Australian soldiers. They were called Aussies, of course. And there were Indian soldiers as well. There were Gurkhas, but I can tell you safely that I didn't notice Gurkhas. Indian soldiers, Australians and British soldiers, yes. Soldiers, yes.
Did you know what they were doing?